Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 4 of Podding on the Ritz.
Hello.
That's the voice of Ross Noble, famous northeastern theatrical bin man.
And then over there, you can hear, just over there in the distance, you can hear Mr. Hadley Fraser, the golden-voiced, dashing leading man.
I've come out quite well.
Anyway,
we recorded episode 4 back on December the 8th, 2017, pre-Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
We were still, you know, before we'd all eaten more than our body weight in chocolates.
Yeah.
In this episode, we talk a little bit about messing up our lines in the show.
It's candid.
We are, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the truth tellers.
Yes.
It's not something that was necessarily, I don't think, too sort of isolated to that case, because we probably still do it right now. We talk a little bit about nativity plays, you know, keeping things theatrical.
Yeah.
Your kids did nativity plays, didn't
they? Yeah, they did, yeah.
Anyway, we also present our lovely Diane Pilkington with a snow globe.
Yes.
And gauge her reaction. Which,
oh, yeah, lovely.
And
I have to say, I think we should maybe keep this for the main body of the podcast, but there's been a lot of snow globe pilfering.
Yeah. The rats have been at them.
Yeah, exactly. It was like when that that plane full of drugs landed in Yosemite National Park.
Didn't hear about that.
Did you not?
No.
Yeah, all the climbers went up there and they nicked all of the drugs.
Yeah.
And they'd all been like just dossing about, living in tents. And then all of a sudden they were like buying property and yeah, it's good. That's what it's like.
Musical of the week this week, Ross.
Oh. Yeah.
Now, this is exciting because we've strayed away somewhat from musicals that have been...
from reality.
Yeah, let's put it that way. You've actually written...
Did, yeah.
Well, I hesitate to say written a whole musical. You've written the synopsis or plot. Actually, that's probably more than a lot of musicals actually end up having done to them.
I mean, we haven't got the words for people to see it. The book, I believe they call it.
The book.
Yeah.
But it's featuring the music of the one, the only...
Cliff Richard.
Sir Cliff.
He's a sir, isn't he? He is, yeah.
I'm surprised he's not a lord.
Is that above sir?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. Big time.
Is it?
Yeah, there's loads of sirs. There's only about 800 lords, aren't there? Oh, no, that's people in the House of Lords.
Yeah.
No, there's no sir. Sir is below lord.
I think, but you're allowed to just call yourself, like, Screaming Lord Sutch. You can just call yourself
that's
a lord.
That's just a nickname, though, isn't it? I mean, you could call yourself Baron Noble.
Yeah, but if you called yourself Sir something, you'd get in trouble, though, wouldn't you?
I don't think so.
I think so. I think they send out a footman.
Do they?
Yeah.
Oh.
Kick your knees in.
Sergeant at arms.
A kneesman.
Anyway, enjoy the show.
Enjoy.
The man that we die for is Frankenstein and Igor. For the first time, together again.
Podding on the Ritz, episode 4.
Yes.
Did you ever think we'd get this far?
Well, it's episode 4 of the podcast, but did you know we are 82 shows in?
82
We've
shows.
Done the show 82
that
times.
That seems like a lot, doesn't it?
It's a lot of times to do that thing. You know what I like about that is, are there things, be honest, that you occasionally get wrong in the show?
Yeah.
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 So,
do you want specifics?
Is there a specific thing?
No, actually, weirdly, it's... No, there is one line. Is one line that in the middle of saying it, I never know what is the final word of that sentence, which is, has anybody dead ever actually been brought back to life before? And on most occasions, it's a toss up. It's 50-50 between before and again. If you listen, and I'll, it's like it's a sort of black cloud in my mind.
Is that why you deliver that line? Wait a minute. Has anyone ever... Actually, you go quite straight.
Yeah,
why you do
because
it.
I'm thinking about the end of the line going, what's the final word?
That's funny.
And I still don't really know.
But have you checked the script?
No.
You've missed that one.
No.
You've
That'd be cheating.
82 times.
I quite like the jeopardy of not knowing.
That's funny because when I say, just after you say that.
Yeah.
No, it's not just after that. It's if you haven't seen the show, by the way, Young Frankenstein at the Garrick Theatre, this is one of the reasons why I'm slightly worried that you've shared this because I've got a horrible feeling that as you say that line, the lots of podcast listeners will say
they're going to shout along.
They'll go, oh, oh, is there any work there? Well, they can't shout along because
no, they don't know which one's right.
Exactly.
Yeah, you see.
Yeah, one step ahead. After you said that, we should just say this is the point where the doctor and I go, Frau Blücher and Inga, the laboratory assistant, are in the lab.
Yeah.
And they're deciding whether or not they should
try and revivify someone. Well, that was a good word.
What I like.
Come on.
Yeah.
Points.
Yeah, I'll write that down. Right, that's how I'm going to use that in conversation. Out of context.
Yeah.
Have you ever...
Waiter, could you revivify my steak?
Isn't it terrible when they do the vivifying on the animals? So I say just after that, and I don't know whether I should now share this with you because both of us are going to be thinking about this in the same scene.
Yeah.
So I won't give that away because that's quite a good visual joke, but I turn around and I say, and by this time tomorrow night,
yeah,
that great hulking beast.
Oh, yeah.
Have you noticed this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That great hulking beast will be lying here on this very table.
Yeah.
Sometimes I say this great hulking brute.
Yeah.
Sometimes I say I never checked to find out it was brute or beast. And then sometimes
Bruce,
I say
this bruising Hulk.
Sometimes I say this table. Sometimes I say that table. This time tomorrow night.
Have you ever said that slab?
Oh no, I've never said slab. Oh. It's not really a slab, though, is it?
I like to think of it as a slab.
I'll do that tonight. That great hulking beast. By this time. It's too many. There's a lot of
variables.
By this time tomorrow night, that great hulking beast or brute will be lying here on this very table or that very table.
Very slab.
By this time tomorrow night, that's definitely right.
Is that quite a new thing in a way? I mean, I know you did the producers and that, but you know, in the day job, if you say a different word in a bit of material that you've worked on, doesn't matter.
No. Does it makes no more, no difference at all. No difference at all. And then also like the, you know, because I mean, if you look at my acting CV.
Actually, we should say your acting CV has been given a certain luster in the past week, Ross. Because you've been nominated for a What's On Stage Award.
Of course.
Can we talk about that? Your transition to Song and Dance Man. Has taken a massive leap forward, I would suggest.
Award nominated. And the best bit of all is the What's On Stage Awards. They're voted by the most important people.
The critics.
No,
yes. The audience.
A random group of industry insiders.
Yeah, audience have voted. Audience have come along and they've thought, I've not seen a better song and dance. You're one of the top five song and dance supporting actor in a musical.
Well, hang on a second. Hadley Fraser, famously modest. You have also been nominated. The show has been nominated.
Let's celebrate that.
The show has been celebrated.
Young Frankenstein.
Don't deflect.
Nominated for Best New Musical.
And then I've been nominated for Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah.
Actor.
In a musical.
And then you, I mean, Song and Dance Man, everyone's thinking it, but...
That's what they're thinking.
And then you've been nominated for the best lead actor in a musical.
And
the thing is,
how does that make you feel?
Well, I'm up against one of the five guys named Mo. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. That strikes me as stiff competition.
Now, I think I'd stand a better chance...
If you were up against all five?
All five, because it splits the Mo.
Yeah, the Mo vote.
The Mo vote.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like all of the people... Oh, I love the Mo's, but what...
Yeah, which one do I go for? I'd go for the other fella.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would be... I'm quids in there. If it was all the five Mo's and me, I'd already be writing me speech. But it's not. It's just one of the Mo's. The question is, I want to hear their podcast, what sort of tension is there backstage, the other four Moors, you know?
They'd be a bit disgruntled, I imagine.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bit of a Mo test.
do the...
You know, this is probably going to go out after the awards have been announced.
That's why it makes me laugh. Can we just say at this point, this award has got absolutely nothing to do with the
quality
of the work, and everything to do with who can get the most people to vote. Now, I'm not bigging myself up, but I refuse to believe that one of the Moors has got as many Twitter followers as me. And I want to be all humble about it and just go, oh, the What's On Stage Awards. Oh, it would be lovely if the public... If I don't win that award, something has gone massively wrong.
What if you're not here when it's announced? When are they?
Do you have to turn up to receive the award?
Oh, that's bad form if you don't, I think. Oh. I mean, the big guns are turning up to that one now.
Really?
I was there a couple of years ago and Daniel Radcliffe came and got his... Tom Hiddleston.
Oh. Yeah, but what if I'm not here because I'm out of the country?
You'll have to do a
message. Sort of,
yeah, video message.
Oh. Well, I'll have to do one because I am going to
win. Because you're going to win, yeah.
There's no question about it.
No, I mean, the strength of your song and dance.
Forget about it.
Sorry, yes. The number of your Twitter followers.
But when you vote, right, because my mum was telling me, because she's voted several times, I'm not saying she started opening new email accounts and using her friend's postcodes,
but she's thought about it.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's a lot, there's gonna be some serious voting fraud going on. Hanging chads aplenty. My mum said that when you vote, you can't just vote for one thing. You have to vote for all of the things.
So you've got to vote for lighting designer and best poster and all of that as well.
A lot. Which all I'm seeing is, if all my Twitter followers are voting for me,
yeah,
obviously they're going to vote for you.
I don't think that's a natural extension of logic.
Well, when I ask them to nicely on Twitter,
yeah,
and the show,
yeah,
I'm predicting now... If you and I and the show doesn't win,
yeah,
there's been a serious...
We'll have to do a recount.
All I'm saying is that the voting's rigged.
Went
to my daughter's...
Nativity?
Nativity today.
How was that? Now that you're a decorated song and dance man, you're able to judge these things.
I mean, exactly. I mean, I was all the way through. I was going, lift your game, Mary. Lift your game.
Watch Meet the text. Stage. Come on.
Watch on stage nominee. Hey, come on. What was it?
The classic
traditional nativity.
My nephew, stop the clock. My nephews did the Lion King. At their school for their nativity.
Did you see it?
No, I've seen photographic evidence.
Right.
One of my nephews played a leaf. Was it a leaf?
The grass. He's the grass.
It's the grass which we talked about. I was delighted.
He was actually... He's a grass.
The Lion King.
Imagine that. We never discussed this. Imagine.
So the nativity play.
The nativity play. Absolute triumph this morning. Yeah. Right. Wonderful scenes. But, right, 2 days ago, my wife went to see, because they did it 3 times, right?
Blimey, that's a long run for a nativity.
Yeah, for a nativity. There are only 4.
Wow.
Because, you know, people have to get different days off school and all
that.
I suppose,
you know, and it's difficult to get agents down on a particular day.
Exactly. But how about this, right? She's gone on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Mary's off.
The understudy's on.
The swing's on.
Whoa.
Unbelievable. It was the teacher. So you've got all these 4-year-olds, and then there's a teacher dressed as Mary.
Massive Mary.
Oh, my God, it's ridiculous. The perspective was all wrong. It just ruined it. Well, we should talk about, because you had a little, you've been ill this week, haven't you?
Yeah. My little daughter had gastroenteritis, and then sort of as a knock-on effect, my wife and I both got it. And... So there was no way that I could really do the show for a few days.
Yeah.
So my understudy went on. Josh smashed it out of the park.
Did a cracking job.
Cracking job. Very, very grateful to him. And then I got back on after 3 days off and And it struck me how much energy we need to do this show. Because I got to, especially the end of the... So I was off on Monday, Tuesday, and two shows on Wednesday.
Yeah.
I did one show on Thursday, as we've got, one show on Friday, as we've got. And then we have two shows on a Saturday. I got 10 minutes into the second show on Saturday night, and I thought, crikey, I don't know if I'm going to be able to finish this. Because I hadn't eaten a square meal all week, you know. And it really struck me. I thought, I don't know how we do that. How do we do it?
Well.
Anyway, so, come here.
Yes.
Oh, I said it again.
He's done it. He's done it again. An involuntary catchphrase of Jimmy Cricket. There's more. I've had a letter from my mammy. We never got round to coming up with a proper catchphrase. So because of that,
yeah.
The reason I mentioned about your absence was you missed possibly... The greatest moment of chaos and confusion.
Okay, so because I wasn't here, let me ask you what happened.
Just as we were about to enter Castle Frankenstein.
Yeah.
You're
about 20 minutes into the show?
About that, yeah, about that. We just hear, paid my money!
From the audience.
From the audience. And first, straight off the bat, I think, well... It's kicking off.
Right.
There's, you know, there's heckling to be had. Turn around, old man.
Yeah.
Proper confused old man, drunk as well, on champagne. Now that's, I mean, that's, if you're going to invade a stage, you want to be...
Do it in style.
Exactly. Yeah. He had a cane as well. I thought, have you come from Victoria?
Did he really have a cane?
He had a cane. He could hardly get up the stairs. He got up the stairs, and because it's a Mel Brooks show, people thought it was part of the show...
So they were laughing.
They were laughing. And then he's come on stage.
Yeah.
And then started berating me.
Right.
Because basically, it turned out he'd got a bottle.
He'd voted for one of the other hosts.
Exactly. He was sat there. He had all five of them. he's come on stage. And he's basically, he's got a bottle of champagne.
Yeah.
He's had one glass of it. They've put it in the fridge. He can have it at the interval. They've closed the bar.
Yeah.
He wants his champagne.
Oh, I see.
He's kicked off, proper kicked off. He's a bit confused. He's come on stage shouting at me. If you've got a problem with the bar, you don't go on stage at the... I think that hunchback might be able to sort this out.
Yeah.
We managed to get him off the
Maybe
stage.
Thought he'd just go to the top.
Except right to the top. Imagine I'd open me hump and there's a small drinks cabinet in there. There you go, mate. Miniatures, help yourself. He gets on the stage... We managed to sort of get him to the side of the stage. He spots Dame Leslie Joseph. Leslie Joseph through the curtain. He goes, "Oh, Leslie, I want to have a cup of tea with you."
And so then, he's sober enough.
Well, no, because I said, "Come on, we'll get you a cup of tea."
Oh, righto.
Like just
he's forgotten about the champagne by
now. Yeah, exactly. I just needed to
mind you. Leslie's got a fair bit of champagne in her room.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I don't mean to cast aspersions.
No, it's not
for her.
No, but let's be honest. I mean, Leslie has got. I mean, it's a cavalcade.
Oh, every night.
Showbiz.
Yeah.
I mean, only this week we had both Wayne Sleep and TV's Dempsey and Makepeace.
Judge Rinder.
Judge Rinder.
Oh, I know who that is now.
Yeah, exactly. You didn't know who Judge Rinder is.
But as a consequence, she's basically got champers on tap.
Yeah.
So that would have been the place for that fella to head to.
Maybe he's like a truffle pig. He was just sniffing.
Just sniffing out the bubbles.
The champagne. And he's one of them, one of those sommeliers.
Sommeliers?
That's what they're called.
Sommeliers.
Is it a smot? Is it?
Yeah, S-O-M.
No, that's somebody that falls asleep. Oh, no, that's a somnambulist.
Yeah.
What's the...
Yeah, sommelier. It's a wine expert, yeah. Sommelier. Not a smellier.
A smellier. It's a smellier. A smellier.
Yes.
So what is it?
Sommelier.
Sommelier.
Yeah, S-O-M-M-E-L-I-E-R.
There's no point spelling
it. Oh, good, okay, fair enough.
Smellier.
Sommelier.
Sommelier.
Yeah, okay. Like the Somme, but different. Much more fun.
Every day is a school day. Let's actually, while we're talking about Dear Leslie Joseph, TV's Leslie Joseph, can I, this is a new feature that I want to do.
Oh, this is exciting. We've got features.
We have now. I've started writing things down.
I am flabbergasted.
And also,
in front of me is Ross Noble with a notebook with at least 6 pages of filled notes.
But well, one page is of the notes that I wanted to remember, just, you know, to trigger the brain. But all of this, right? I was bored on the train, so yeah. I've written a musical.
This is massive.
So I'll get to that in a minute, right? But I knocked it out. It's not that hard.
No.
It's not as hard as you would think.
It is quite hard. I've written a musical.
I mean, it's quite hard.
It's all very well writing it on a, whatever that is, notebook.
That's my Necronomicon.
It's all very well writing it on a Necronomicon.
Can't even say it. I can't see a sommelier.
Anyway,
I've written
Leslie Joseph.
I mean, I've not written the full...
It's just the kernel of an idea.
Yeah, I mean, it's the plot. And what I've done is as well, because I didn't want to have to write the songs, I thought I'd start with a jukebox musical.
Yeah.
Where I take the music of a popular... You know how I want to be like the new Ben Elton?
Yeah.
That's...
Righto.
That's what I've done.
Okay.
So what I've written down here is... I've called this my Leslie Ledger.
Yeah.
Because Leslie comes out with some just truly incredible, just...
Crackerjack one-liners.
Just out of nowhere.
Yeah.
She'll just be talking to you.
Would it be fair to say that they're sort of unconscious? It's not like she's playing for the gag. They just come out.
No, exactly. But they're not even non sequiturs. It's like she'll be having a conversation at a normal volume, and then a separate idea passes through her head.
Yeah.
And as it passes, she sees it and shouts it.
Yeah.
So that's, the classic one was when she was telling me about a woman who was tragically killed.
Yeah.
Without pausing, but she went, the woman stepped out into the road, she was ploughed down, and she was instantly killed. Would you like a wine gum? Which I love. It's one of the fun. We were talking about the beaches of the Northeast.
Yeah.
And out of nowhere, she turned to me and went, what was that island I got stuck on with John Nettles? Brilliant. So I've started writing all these down. This week, she walked into the gym. Myself and Summer Strallen, who plays Inga,
We're
sat in here, just enjoying a moment. Leslie comes in and she goes, oh, it's cold. Oh, it's cold. And someone turns around and goes, you haven't got any pants on, Les. And she was wearing just the tights. She had a short pants on. She had a tight.
Yeah.
She hadn't put a dress on or trousers.
Good job that old fella didn't see her.
Oh, my God.
That would have been hell to pay. That
would have been unbelievable.
We're delighted to be joined by the wonderful Diane Pilkington, who plays Elizabeth in the show. Di, how are you?
I'm great. I'm really excited.
It's a big moment for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Di's here because she's heard about the snow globes, presumably.
Yep, that's the only reason I'm here.
We're very excited to record your reaction to opening the snow globe.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I've been promised this for days.
Have you?
Yeah.
Has Ross been promising
Ross has been taunting me and teasing me with snow globes.
Yeah. He does that.
Does this mean I'm a proper actress?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You might need some sort of blade to get into it.
I don't. I can bite through it.
Okay. No, there's a knife there if you want it.
Not with my brace.
I mean, normally, most of these were opened with a theatrical fencing sword.
Yeah.
That had spent at least 5 years of drama school.
A foil.
Yeah.
Or a rapier.
Yeah.
If you will.
I did stage fighting at drama school.
How did you get on?
Particularly well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a bit dangerous.
Well, yeah. Oh, I see. So it was the control more than the moves.
Yeah,
the
only, I was very enthusiastic.
The only person in a year that's got two arms.
Left. No, I mean two arms left, not two left arms. Yeah.
Which actually... Oh,
hang on a minute.
Oh, hang on.
Stop the clock on that. So, that Di, first reactions.
Describe it to us.
By the way, are you a snow globe fan? Have you got some at home?
I do like a snow globe, yeah.
Yeah.
I really do. And it's a particularly fine one. It works very well.
It's quite...
Very even.
Quite a lot of density.
You like the snow spread?
I like the snow spread. It's very, very even.
Yeah.
As snow globes go, I'm enjoying the building. I particularly like the tree.
Yeah.
Because I used to make little pottery houses, you see.
Hang on a second.
I did when I was younger. And I think you do that by pushing the clay through a sieve.
Oh, tricks of the trade.
Yeah. So
actually, if we needed some more of these...
I might be able to...
you'd be the person to come to first. You're a very fine baker, and
I feel like I might bake this at some point.
Oh, hang on a second. It gets better.
With the gloves.
Might make an edible
well.
Snow globe.
Oh, you could certainly make the theatre, couldn't
I could.
You?
Yeah.
I was just going to say, this particular one we've opened here has a trapped air bubble. So that can be utilised as a spirit level.
It's got a bubble.
Which is handy.
It is really multi-purpose. I'm thrilled.
The most la-di-da spirit level.
It's not a toy.
It's not intended for
use by children.
Piece of building equipment.
Yeah.
If we hadn't have given this to you for free, how much do you reckon you'd pay for it?
No one would know as well. It's not like people would see you buying it and go, oh, geez.
I don't know. Should I have decided that I was going to buy it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I would expect it's a sizable snow globe.
It's quite
sizable, yeah, and it's heavy. I would have expected
about the size of a cat's head.
Well, yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I don't
10,
know.
15
I think,
quid?
Do you think it's bigger
like
than
that?
A cat's head?
I think it's about. I mean,
I don't
cat heads are about that big.
No, which cat? That's a big cat.
Yeah, like
a kitten's
like,
head.
No. Like if you actually hold a cat's head and you squash the ears down, like I used to do with my cat, they're actually, it's about a fistful.
Well, when I was outside Radio 2 the other day, and I was looking at this cat.
Yeah.
Its head was about that size.
If you'd have shaved off the, was it a long head, short head?
It had like blonde hair.
I'm talking about the skull, not.
It had blonde hair. She was carrying like a record box.
Once again, we've fallen into the trap, West, haven't we? That's a lame page. That's not a cat.
It was a lovely. I was stroking it. It was lovely.
I give up. Di, thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
It's musical of the week.
I mean, now you're a composer.
No, it's jukebox musical.
Oh, okay.
Done the book. This is just, I don't judge me, this is just my first attempt.
This is the early draft.
And I wrote it on the train.
Okay. Right?
So, jukebox musical.
Yeah.
Who has spanned many years in the music business, has many famous songs that people know, who has a big following, but also has a history of appearing in musical theatre.
David Essex?
Nope.
Appearing in musical theatre. Brian Connolly.
No. Lots of hits.
Lots of hits. Cliff Richard.
Cliff Richard. There you go.
Cliffy.
Why has nobody done the Cliff we've had?
We've had Summer Holiday.
Ah, so what I've done is, yes, Summer Holiday, but I haven't used any of the songs that
from that.
From Summer Holiday. I want to keep that separate.
I'm not sure I'd know which ones, apart from obviously the titular track, what is in Summer Holiday and what isn't from Cliff's, you know, back catalogue.
I don't think it's that much. I don't think
Righto. Anyway, let's not dwell on that.
Okay.
So this is the Cliff
The
Richard.
Young Ones, I think, is in that, isn't it?
Is it?
I think it might be.
He was in Heathcliff the musical, wasn't he?
He certainly was. That's got to be your musical of the week at some point. Or is it too much of a classic? It's too much of a classic story, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we'd basically just be recounting the original novel, wouldn't we?
Yeah, that's a terrible idea. Right. So, I haven't come up with a name for it, right? So, Cliff Richard.
Maybe we can come up with that.
Yes, right. So, Cliff Richard, right, plays.
Oh, he's in it as well?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, genius.
Why wouldn't he be, right? But you don't want people getting confused. So, his character is called Jeff Pritchard. So Jeff is a hairdresser.
Yeah.
Right? / amateur inventor.
I like it.
Right?
Yeah.
And then he works in a hairdresser's very busy. It's a
lot of footfall.
And his boss likes to get people through the door, and I'll explain why in a minute, right? His boss is a fella called Pa. Pa Peppard, right?
Yeah.
And and every time he enters, you know the Perlandine music?
Yeah. Pa 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 pa. I love it.
Peppard.
Yeah. And so does everybody in the shop.
Everyone in the salon, when he first enters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like sort of like barbershop style.
Quartet, exactly. Exactly.
Because it's in a barbershop.
It's a barbershop, yeah.
Is it a barbershop or a hairdresser?
It's a salon. It's a lady's salon, right? And he, Pepard, he Jeff Pritchard works, but he also lives in the flat above.
Jeff does all Par.
Jeff does. He's very shy, right? And Par gets very angry because Jeff, right, he's too shy to talk to the ladies while he's cutting their hair.
Right.
You see?
So there's no bonhomie.
No, exactly. And but the trouble is, you see, is that Pa likes to get as many customers through as possible.
Yeah.
He likes the customer service, right? And this is the key factor here. One of the reasons the salon is so successful is Pa Papard has invented the hottest hair dryers in Britain. Right? Now hang on. What I forgot to say was, when we first meet Jeff Pritchard,
yeah,
hairdresser, amateur inventor,
yeah,
right, he sings, what does he sing? Bachelor Boy.
Bachelor Boy, of course.
Right? He's a bachelor boy.
I was flicking through the...
But he's shy with the ladies, right? So he sings Bachelor Boy, right? He's very shy. Paul Pepard is...
I can see the sort of montage on stage, people coming in, getting their hair cut while he's singing, but he's unable to actually speak to them...
Exactly.
..in life itself.
You're on it. You're absolutely on it. Yes. So,
does it?
Paul Pepard
stages itself.
He's many ways. So he sings Bachelor Boy, but then you find out he's very shy and that Paul Pepard... Oh, and by the way, the hairdressers, do you know what it's called?
No.
Parsnips.
And is it contemporary or is it 60s?
Oh,
no,
very contemporary. He's playing a young man,
yeah,
but it has to be contemporary. You'll find out why,
okay,
in a second, okay, right? Because one of the characters,
yeah,
would never have existed back in the 60s. So he's very shy. So he's an amateur inventor. He decides to build a robot woman.
Right.
Upstairs in the flat.
Yeah.
Right? So that he can practice...
Conversing and...
Talk while he cuts her hair, so he can build up, make her, you know, chat and all of it. Yeah. So he sets to work with all the bits of plastic body parts.
Yeah.
Right? Trying to... And what he's able to do is he's able to melt the different bits of body parts together using... Pepard's incredibly hottest hairdryers in Britain, right?
Right.
So he's trying to, he's building it, he's got all this body parts, right? And he's got like a box of backs.
Backs?
Backs.
Oh, right.
Like a back.
I thought that was like a
back.
Yeah, right.
But he's got like a whole box of backs.
Backs is there. Sort of sardines
he's
or something.
He's trying to choose which back he wants. So he's got a big box of backs over there.
Yeah.
He's got a bucket of tits. Right. And he's putting them all together.
Yeah.
And he's doing the hair.
He's only making one. He's not
just
making
one,
an army.
Yeah. Just one woman that he can talk to.
Right.
Right. But there's backs everywhere. There's buckets of tits. He's got like a big shelf of ankles.
Yeah.
And this is a flat that Pa Pepard's letting him use. Right. But Pa Pepard comes in and is furious. He's like, come on. What? You can't be making this robot... Because I think Pa thinks in his head...
Oh, it's a sex robot.
Like a sex robot. It's not. It's not a sex thing at all, right? And he sings the song from Cliff's back catalogue, all this stuff. He sings...
Living Doll?
Not yet.
Oh, God.
Not yet. That's coming. It's coming.
Oh, that's later.
No, that's later.
Sorry.
He sings Move It.
I don't know that one.
Well, it's a popular Cliff hit, apparently.
You don't even know it. You just looked it up on YouTube.
Of course I did. I've got a list of Cliff songs... So he sings Move It. He's all of this stuff. He says, Jeff, move it. And then bang, we're into this number, right?
Yeah.
But then Jeff agrees.
Right.
But disobeys Pa Pepard.
Love right? it.
See, I've picked up
tension,
from the ones that he's right.
Yeah.
And he's up all night making the woman.
Right.
Right. He's got a toaster.
Mm-hmm.
He's got an old Breville.
Yeah.
Right? And then for one of our eyes, you know those heat bulbs from the things that go over the heads? That's one of our eyes there.
Right.
And then she's got a bit of a Breville bit of a toaster. He's creating her all night. He brings her to life. The eye
glows.
And he sings
Living Doll.
Living Doll.
There it is.
Right? Now that's three songs in, right?
Yeah.
So you've got Bachelor Boy off the bat, right? Calms down a bit with Move It.
Yeah.
Ramps it up. Everyone's waiting for Living Doll, right? Then he starts chatting to her, right? He starts to chat.
Yeah.
He becomes able to, he learns how to chat to women, right?
Through this stuff. Has he given her a name or is that?
No, I mean, I haven't given her a name. I like the idea.
She would have a name.
Well, just wait.
Think about Cliff. It'd be a 60s name like Sandy or Jacqueline or something.
Well, let's
park that.
Yeah, because you'll see, because is she a human? Like, she's still a doll. She's a living doll, right? He's over the moon because he's able to go down, right, to the salon the next day, and he's able to cut the hair and chat to women. And he's very pleased because he's confident enough, right, to talk to Daphne DuPont, right? Beautiful Lady Vicar.
She's a vicar.
She's a Lady Vicar, right?
Is that the contemporary angle that you were talking
exactly.
about?
You wouldn't get that in the 60s. So beautiful Lady Vicar, right? And he's chatting to her and he's, you know, and he can't believe it because now he can talk to women because he's practicing.
Has he had his eye on Daphne before?
No. Well, maybe he has.
Because I'm feeling that this is going to be the love connection.
Well, just wait. Oh. He tells her that his confidence has come because he's created this living doll upstairs, right? She says to him, it is against God's will, right? And it's bad news. He shouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
Because Christmas is coming. Right?
Right. Christmas is about God after all.
It is, right? Just at this moment, right, the doll emerges.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
From upstairs, right? The doll now, in the hairdressing context, right?
Yeah.
Sees the beautiful Lady Vicar.
Yeah.
And starts going towards her. Does she want to kill her? No. She wants to do her hair.
The doll wants to do Daphne's hair. The doll
wants to do Daphne's hair.
Right.
Right? Moves in, right? She's sort of seen everyone else cutting the hair and all that.
Yeah.
She moves in, right? Well, Daphne, right, freaks out and sings. And this is clever, right? This is where the audience... I'll just go, this is why.
This is why it's the new Ben Elton,
right? He sings, and this is a genuine song from the Cliff Back catalogue, Don't Tease Me. See what I've done?
Because tease your hair.
Tease.
Yeah.
It's a hairdressing term.
Yeah.
So she sings, please don't tease me. And then, right, gets this, right? The doll is so into the hair cutting, right? She just like goes mental, yeah. Right?
Who does? The doll?
The doll.
Yeah.
And the Lady Vicar, right? The beautiful Lady Vicar, Daphne DuPont, right? She's like terrified, right? But then, right, get this bit of gel gets into the circuitry and she just goes bananas, right? Right. This point, right? What does she sing? What does she sing? You've got a hairdressing... robot, not a sexual, but you've got a hairdressing robot, mind full of gel, losing its mind. Its eye, remember, don't forget the eye, is glowing. It's a vicar. Christmas is on the way.
Well, I mean, I've just got the Christmas songs in my head.
Forget about the Christmas. That must be later. That's coming. Don't you worry about that.
Think,
what's Cliff's big, what's one of his big hits?
Calm Down, Electric Robot Woman.
That was a B-side.
Yeah. Can't think.
Devil Woman.
Oh, yeah.
It's Devil Woman, isn't it?
That wasn't Cliff's.
Yeah, it was. Devil Woman. She's just a devil woman.
Was that Cliff?
That was Cliff, yeah.
Somebody else must have done it first.
Well, he's a dog. No, that was Cliff Devil Woman.
Was that Clifford?
That's why this is going to be such a big... Because people are going to go, that's not a Cliff song. Give us a programme. Flick, flick, flick. Bloody hell, that was.
I would have said that was like the Animals or something.
Devil Woman, Cliff Richard. Right. Anyway, but they do it as a duet.
Okay, yeah.
Devil Woman, right? Anyway, they do it as a duet. The Daphne, the sexy, beautiful vicar, rips the jaw, rips the jaw off of the robot, right? And then, what have I written here? And then, oh, yes, yeah, yeah. So, and then, frightened, runs out of the shop, right? The robot now hasn't got a jaw, leaving only behind, like, the only thing that's left of that is, you know those, like, foam, those twisty foam things that you get in your hair for, like, curling your hair up?
Yeah, little worm you'd
know them
things.
You'd know them little if you saw them.
Little coloured worms.
Yeah. Anyway.
Hair worms.
Leaving the hair worms behind, right? Jeff then is there with a smashed up face. The robot's there. She's still the doll.
Yeah.
Is there. The living doll's there. Jaw's missing, right? So the rips the jaw off.
Yeah.
Runs out screaming, terrified, Devil Woman, right? The song finishes. He's there, left with the foam hair worms.
Yeah.
Right? Jeff sings the popular song, Some People. Do you know that
one? I don't know that one either.
You know, some people are born for each other. They love to walk.
That's not Cliff.
That's Cliff.
That's not Cliff. You're just making this up.
That's Cliff. Some people love one another.
That's not Cliff.
It's Cliff.
You're going to be going, and then he sings Eleanor Rigby. That was Cliff.
That is Cliff. That is an original. All of these
songs. You're rewriting musical history.
No, all of these songs, according to the internet, are Cliff original. That's a one. I'll just point out, we are starring in a musical, and this is how we're singing. People now listen to this thing. I'd love to see it. Sorry, what? Hadley Fraser featured on the 25th anniversary of the Phantom. Where sat you going?
Yeah, but I don't like singing.
Busby Angel, Hadley Fraser. So what happens now is he sings Devil Woman at the Doll, right?
Reprise of Devil Woman.
Reprise. But while Papa Part and Daphne DuPont they're not in the room, they're at a different point of the stage, right?
Okay, separation.
With the ensemble.
Yeah.
In rollers. And they sing, right? So he's throwing out all the body parts, right?
Devil Woman.
Devil. So he's like, Devil Woman, oh, what have you done? I can't believe it. You've scared off this beautiful lady vicar, right? Throwing it all aside.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Papa Part and Daphne, they're singing. Papa Part's singing Millennium Prayer.
Yes, Millennium Prayer.
Yes. He's singing that over here, right?
Yeah.
Father who art in heaven.
Yeah.
Hallowed be thy name. He's singing, Devil Woman, our Father, who art Devil Woman, Devil Woman. That's what we would say. And at the same time, she's singing Mistletoe and Wine, right? Children singing Christian, Devil Woman, Father, Mistletoe.
It's like the end of Act One in West Side Story. It's like a quintet.
Exactly. Mistletoe and Wine, Millennium Prayer, Devil Woman, all around the place.
Wonderful.
Doll, without a jaw, curtain down, end of Act One.
Brilliant.
You with me? Act Two was a bit shorter because I was getting near Victoria Station. Jeff is with...
That is top of Act Two.
Top of Act Two, right? Jeff is with the doll, looking longingly at the foam worm things.
The hair worms.
Right, from the beautiful vicar, Daphne.
Yeah.
He sings, he turns to the robot, missing a jaw. What does he sing?
Congratulations.
Not yet. He sings, We Don't Talk Anymore.
That's not Cliff.
That is Cliff. It's so funny how we don't talk anymore.
That's not Cliff.
That is Cliff Richard.
That's mental. That's not Cliff.
That is Cliff Richard. Honestly,
do you know what? I'm having to reconsider my preconceptions about Clifford.
He's had some great hits. So, We don't talk anymore. She's missing a jaw.
She can't.
You know, exactly. So while he's singing that and her head's all like lolling around.
Yeah.
He's pointing, like she's pointing at that, at the foam sausage things.
The hairworms.
The hairworms, right? And he realises, he thinks, oh, I get it. So he gets the hottest hairdryer in Britain.
Yeah.
And he starts melting them, right?
Into the shape
of, which I, to be fair, haven't heard. You won't go, oh, this is obvious. A popular song, one of his early songs.
Yeah.
Lucky Lips. Lucky Lips. Right. That's one of his songs, right? Okay. All right. Now she can talk.
Yeah.
She's chatting again, right?
Yeah.
She's chatting and like, and he does all the, you know, he gets his toolkit out. He gets his soldering iron out. He's fashioned the lips. He's doing all that, right? She can't believe it. She's talking. She's singing. She's all of the, everything's coming out of her face. What does she sing?
I don't want to guess.
Wired for sound. She's wired for sound. Right?
It writes itself, it
doesn't
does, it?
Doesn't it, right? Just she's wired for sound. And then she tells him that he needs a real woman and not a living doll.
Oh, that's self-sacrifice. Oh! Is that what it was called? Sacrifice?
No, that's Elton John. That's Elton John. So, right. So they now you see now you're in the swing of it. You're
the neurons are firing.
Yeah. So you need a real woman, not just a living doll, right? So they run. She says, "You've got to go." So you've got to get a real woman. So they run to the church where the beautiful vicar doing the sermon. Yeah. Right. She thinks that they're both there to kill her.
Wow.
Right?
That's escalated.
Well, you know, because she was attacking
her. Yeah, yeah.
She was trying to do her hair, but she misconstrued, right? But the doll, of all people, says she only wants Jeff to be happy. And she sees...
that they could be happy?
They could be happy together.
Yeah.
And that, you know, they could be together. So the vicar then looks across and realises... Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Realises that Jeff can never destroy the doll.
Wow.
Like, because she sees that this doll has helped him.
Yeah.
Right? This doll, and part of us thinking, yes, I'm probably in love with this man.
Yeah.
And he's shy now. And like, she realises, and she looks at the doll and she thinks, but so there's a real dilemma here because she's thinking, I want to be with Jeff.
Yeah.
I want to be Mrs. Pritchard or Reverend Pritchard should be, obviously, but like,
yeah.
But she knows that there's two women here
in Jeff's life.
But the doll knows that Jeff needs to be with a real woman, not a living doll.
Yeah.
Right? She knows that, right? He explains, let's have a look, was it? And he explains that he's only able to tell her how he feels about her because the living doll taught him to be confident around beautiful lady vicars, right? I've just written here, everyone is confused, right? I've written that down. We need to get that. So, right. The vicar sees the humanity in the doll and says they should all be friends. The three of them should be friends.
Right.
There's no reason why they can't be together and the doll can't be their
friend. Live with them as well.
Well, guess what's happened, right?
Go on.
While she's saying this to Jeff, the doll has only gone and drowned herself in the font.
Oh, no.
Right?
It's always happening.
She's put herself in the front. She knows that's going to short circuit everything, right?
Yeah.
That's it. In effect, you know, a living doll can't be killed.
Yeah.
But by dipping herself in the font,
she short circuits herself.
She's snuffed it out. The heat eye. Do you remember that?
That
slowly dims under the water and sparks a bit, probably, right?
Depends on the budget.
Yeah. They're both sad.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a bit short, Hannes.
It's a bit... That's all right. But it's only the first draft. Right.
They're sad, but a little bit horny, right? So
what?
They're a little bit horny, right? They're sad, but they're a bit horny at the same time.
Right, I see, right. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I've written horny.
Happens in films,
it's
doesn't
the
it?
Wrong, it's the yeah. wrong word, but there's a desire there, yeah, right? They kiss, right, in the church over the lifeless body of the living doll.
Yeah.
Right? The congregation, who are I forgot to say, this is during the full congregation, right? You know, there's the sadness of the doll no longer being there. She's gone, right? But the two of them are together, right? But it's also Christmas. The music lifts up.
Saviour's Day, which is my favourite cliff.
Right. As this is happening...
I'm so glad that you left that till last.
Yeah. Because you're thinking, this is the big climax.
Yeah.
You can't go anymore. This is why this is going to be a big hit. During the song, who appears at the door? Papa Pard.
Yeah.
With Britain's Hottest Hairdryer.
Yeah.
He says, easy enough, he can dry out the doll, have her back on her feet.
So they can all live together.
They can all live happily together. The doll comes back to life and winks with the heat eye.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Boom, curtain down.
Ah, oh, it's golden.
Awards all around.
I think it's really strong.
Right.
I think the relationships between all of them are working out really, really well. You've got a lot of ups and downs.
Yeah.
Do you think there's any room for a subplot? Because at the moment you've got quite a sort of, you know, it is A to B on that one story, isn't there?
Yes.
And I just wonder whether we need a little bit of lightness.
You're right. I mean, it's a good first draft, isn't it?
What do you think it should be called?
I think it should just be called Jeff.
Yeah, strong.
Yeah.
Cuts.
Yeah.
Like cats. Or would you select one of the titles of the songs?
Oh, yeah, that's true. I'll read them out. So you've got...
It'd have to be Living Doll, wouldn't it?
It'd have to be. Or Bachelor Boy.
No, Living Doll.
It's Living Doll, isn't it?
It's Living Doll.
Yeah.
Living Doll the Musical. Written by, starring, and produced by Cliff. Would you let him in?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
He'd be all over it. And he's got his own vineyard so he could sell his wine in the interval.
Half price.
He could sell the wine.
You know, at the end of the musicals of the week, I've often asked you, what have we learnt overall?
Yeah, right, I'll ask you that. What do you think? You think you've learned from this? I mean, apart from I've got a bit too much time on my hands.
Well, you've had a train journey.
Yeah.
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 What have we learned?
The one was dead.
If you want something, create an artificial toaster robot that helps you achieve that goal.
Yeah. That's what I was going for.
Is that what you were going for?
That's exactly what I was going for. Whole thing, deficit funded by Breville. Right.
You've been listening to Podding on the Ritz.
Join us again next week where we'll have an actual musical that has been produced.
Yeah, or not, you know.
Well, you never
know. We could have new musical of the week.
I might write another one.
My God, this is it, the Hit Factory.
I could knock one of these out a week. This could be a...
That's what Ben Elton did.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.